Well, as Brother Mark reminded us about organic outreach, and so this is a book that the leadership of our church is asking us all to look at and discuss, and so we would like each one of you, if you're able, to pick up that copy, Organic Outreach for Ordinary People. Now, I didn't stress ordinary because we're all ordinary. However, it is important to note that title because there is organic outreach for churches. There is organic outreach for families. And so you want organic outreach for ordinary people, okay? So that's the one that we are going through. Amazon has it for $9.99. And yet I just heard this morning that Barnes & Noble has it for $6.99. So, and, okay, here we go. Who has it for $4.47? It's a used book, okay. All right. So if you don't mind someone else's notes, go for it. Yes, yes, dear.
Mm-hmm. Various stages of what they look like, meaning nearly new to nearly pretty bad. And the prices are there, and they really do go down to something like $3 or whatever. I mean, and that, of course, includes the shipping charges, too.
Okay.
So you can get it pretty cheap by just looking through the...
So you can haggle... can kind of haggle with Amazon if you're willing to buy a used book or whatever, the price is less. I also noticed that the English version is $9.99, brand new, but the Spanish version is
$6.99.
Here's your chance, guys. You have about 3-4 weeks to learn Spanish, all right? And then you can buy the Spanish version and save $3. We even have somebody that might help us tutor us. Anyway, but plenty of places to get the book, and so we would certainly encourage you to do that. It would be, like any lesson, if you've had an opportunity to actually read the passage, to think about it, it will often hit deeper and will take further hold into your heart and life, and so certainly encourage you to pick up the book by Kevin Harney, Organic Outreach for Ordinary People. Well, this is Steve's 1 week a month away. Who was here last week in the service? In the service, yeah. What a message, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it wasn't just, okay, so everybody, Kathy was crying through the internet somewhere in Michigan. And I thought I was going to jump out of my seat at one point. But so if you were not here last week in the service for whatever reason, I'd go online and listen to it because it is a message that it just, I mean, it was so powerful. It was so encouraging. And you just want to stand up and say, Yahoo, you know, and or something like that. But it was such an incredible sermon. So we are blessed to think that he's our teacher, too, in here. So
does he write those? Does the speaker write their sermon?
Well, every pastor is a little bit, every preacher is a little bit different. Some will write out their sermons like Jonathan Edwards did and just literally read it. But powerful were his sermons. Now, that was a different day, and so I'm not sure our attention spans would, you know, necessarily go for that today. But some will write out a manuscript, and then they memorize it, you know. Others will just make an outline, and, you know, and so. Well, I'm not sure what Steve does. You have to ask him.
Not sure. He covered a lot of the points, and they were really somber, many of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's just a very, he's a very gifted, you know, teacher. So well-read. So, I mean, he can pull up things from It's like an encyclopedia. It's humanly, you know, closest thing I come to next thing, you know, there's Google and then there's Steve, you know, and so, you know, so if the internet's down, ask Steve. Okay. Well, unfortunately, yeah, he is away. And so a long time ago, I have no idea when, we began to, on these weeks that he's gone, began to look at a series on heaven. And much of it, because it was a gift to me, is right out of, so we're really kind of going through, and I highly recommend it, it's not thin, but Randy Elkhorn's book entitled, Heaven. And so much of the material is coming right from this book. And so we began, as we launched into heaven, we looked at several different subjects. And we're not necessarily going, most of it's in order, but not all of it. But so in the book, one of the first things that Randy outlines is, well, not everybody goes, you know. And so all dogs go to heaven, we're told, but not so with human beings. So we looked at our default destiny, okay? So probably at your office too, my office, when I hit print, there's a default printer. It just goes that way. However, I can select a different one on the wireless network if I need it to print somewhere else. But if I don't change something, it's going that way. And when we're born, we're headed, our default destiny is not heaven, okay? So the moment we're born, we've inherited sin, and then it doesn't take us very long. We're not even out of the cradle yet. When we choose to be selfish and different violations of God's law. And so we not only sin by inheritance, but we also sin by choice. And we separate ourselves from the God who is perfectly holy. And so that's man's default destiny. And just like if you want it to print somewhere else, you have to make a change. And so we, of course, looked at the only change, and of course Steve touched on it last week as well, especially in his closing remarks, application, that there has to be repentance. There has to be personal repentance and acknowledgement that I have sinned, violated the laws of a holy God, and then cry out for Jesus Christ to save me. And I hope and pray that we have done that here at various different parts of our life. Who here came to faith as a child before the age of 18? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, less than half. Well, I was going to say as an adult, that'd be the rest. But how about a young adult from, let's say, oh boy, this is giving trouble. How about from 18 to, 30? How many came to, I would be in that category as well, so, okay. And over 30? Okay, some of you are still deciding. All right, we'll choose that path because that's the way to go. So this, our default destiny has changed at so many different times in a person's life. Some very young, and some, well, hanging on the cross. And Lord, remember me today when you enter into paradise. And so deathbed conversions do of course, happen. So we looked at the default destiny. We looked at just what heaven is like, as much as is revealed to us in Scripture. The nature of it, that it's a physical place. All right. As a child, I thought too, like many, we'd gotten floating on a cloud. Everything's peaceful, but it is peaceful. But it's a physical place. We looked at the reality of heaven, its physicalness, and then some applications that what's life like without being cursed? And well, none of us would know experientially, but. What would life be like when we're no longer living under the consequences and ramifications of the curse? Now that brings us to what we're going to discuss today, and that is the necessity and the importance of a physical resurrection. Do you agree that it's important? That it's essential? Beginning with the first one to rise. Do you remember it back in the 1990s? Well, some of you wouldn't, obviously. Young man right here. But most of us, of course, would remember the 90s. And remember an organization called the Jesus Seminar? Yeah, you remember that? The media made it out to be, you know, the media at large, like this was a Christian event and organization, which was not the truth. But so Marcus Borg was one of the leaders of the Jesus Seminar. And he said this of Christ's resurrection way back in the 1990s. He said, as a child, I took it for granted that Easter meant that Jesus literally rose from the dead. However, I now see Easter very differently. For me, it is irrelevant whether or not the tomb was empty. Should have stayed a child. Whether Easter involves something remarkable happening to the physical body of Jesus is irrelevant. How ironic that he would lead an organization called the Jesus Seminar. Is it irrelevant whether Jesus physically rose from the dead? What does Paul say, the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15? Yeah, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we have absolutely no hope whatsoever. You know, as many speakers and preachers have said, you know, the stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out, right? But it was so the world could witness that he wasn't there no more. The body itself was gone. So when we think about resurrection and new bodies, it's not just a spiritual thing. It's a physical thing. God will physically raise our bodies just as Jesus did. And that's what I want to look at today, but I want to do it as a group. So at your table, there's some sheets here. We're going to take about the next, maybe 15 minutes or so. The passages are on there, certainly not limited to those. I mean, you can't list every single passage in the Bible that deals with the resurrection or its ramifications. But on the sheets, there are just some headings there. So for the first one, I want to contrast the body that we know now. I spent the day with my mother yesterday, and you know she's 84, and so she feels 84. You know those years, and you know she talked about we talked together about you know our child, you know my childhood and those years, and of course we my dad, you know. She lost her husband when I was only six, you know, in an accident. But so we traced a lot of history, but then we spent a lot of time talking about what's coming and the encouragement. I mean, there's not a day she doesn't hurt, you know, with arthritis and, you know, so I, you know, don't know what that's like to have to deal with, you know, pain every single day. You wake up, you go to bed, and sometimes it's better, sometimes it's worse, but you know, there's not a day that she doesn't have some pain. And so we talked about what it will be like when there is no pain. There's no suffering, no crying, no airplane accidents, helicopter accidents. When there is none of that, when there's no coronavirus, and there is none of this. And so I think the Bible reminds us of these things to encourage us. Because everything we know, we have great joys in life for sure, but we all know heartache throughout life at different times. Even as a child, teenager, adults, we all face heartache. And there's always going to be a time when we need to encourage ourselves with Scripture, which is why no doubt God had it written down, is to encourage us that, hey, yes, sin has its ramifications. And it's not always a, you know, tit for tat, one for one. You can't look at every single evil thing and say, oh, that's because you did. It's just, it's a world in which we live. You know, these viruses, these accidents, it's just because the world is fallen and there is the ramifications of sin all around us. Paul literally says in Romans 8, one of the passages on our sheet here, that creation is groaning, you know, for the day when finally we'll be free from all the misery and the pain. Not just human beings, but the animal world. It said the virus probably came originally from, you know, animals being transferred to humans. And there's this conflict in the universe. And there's coming a time, Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, when the Lord will reconcile everything to himself. Not us, of course, the most important, made in his image, but the whole world will be reconciled to God. Everything will be made right. And that's all due to what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us through his death, his burial, but his resurrection. What does his resurrection mean for us, and how does it change from now till then? So let's take the next 15 minutes, and at our tables, let's look at that first passage, 1 Corinthians 15, and just compare what the passage says about the state of affairs right now with us, our body, but then what is going to come in our resurrection body. Underneath that, I'd like to, and this is related, of course, but there is a continuity. So when Jesus rose from the dead, he still was human looking, right? I mean, so Mary thought he was who? Yeah, right? So, you know, and that could just be because she was, you know, in that culture, well, even today in some cultures, a woman will not look us, other than her husband, I mean, look a stranger right in the face and look you in the eye and talk to you if... and so that could very well be that, you know, she just wasn't looking directly at his face, but she presumed he was the gardener. He certainly looked human in every way. You know, arms, legs, you know, all that was the same in appearance. And so there are certainly things that will continue. What about like art and music and culture? And I mean, I think there are a lot of gifts that God gives us now that are all part of his plan and will be enjoyed in a more perfect way. But I think there's maybe more continuity than sometimes we realize. And then, of course, praise God, there's discontinuity. Things are going to change. Things will not be the same. The curse will be lifted. And what will that be like? You know, first for our physical bodies, but also our relationships and the ultimate relationship, of course, with the Lord. So let's take the next few minutes and as a group, fill the sheets out, and then we'll share our thoughts together. Okay, thanks.